It's 1900 UTC, and that means it's time for That's News to Me. I'm your host, DJ Marcus. Let's see what's happening in the world today.
Oh, hello, hello. Welcome, welcome, one and all. I was trying to connect to Iceland, but it's been updated to 9.3, NetBSD 9.3, and after I logged in, when I tried to launch TMUX, it has frozen up on me. So let's see if I can go to tty.sdf. Got the same MOTD. Let's see. Am I going to get to log in? Waiting. Waiting. Well, hello. Hello. Welcome, welcome, one and all. It is February the 13th at 1903 UTC. So, hello, hello. Thank you for being here and hanging out. You are listening to Anon Radio, and this is News to Me, a show all about the news that's going on. Let me see if I can launch Calm here. Hey! Calm launched right up. That's good. Let's see. So we got Atomic Rights and Zoroff, Claudio M, Stug, DFS, and Connor H, all hanging out, having a good time, Ratsu, and Calm. If you want to hang out, all you gotta do is SSH over to sdf.org, and then launch Calm. Just COM, press enter. Press G for go to, then type Anon Radio, all lowercase, all one word, and that will take you to the Anon Radio room. Of course, you need to be validated before then, so send that dollar in a self-addressed stamp envelope over as soon as you can. There's other ways to pay, but that's a fun one. Alrighty, so let's get started. There's some news. There's different qualifiers, I guess, of news. The two big stories that continue to be widely broadcast, I assume, since I see them so much, is one is that the earthquakes that happened over there in Turkey and Syria, there are just huge mass graves. Thousands of thousands of people have died, so they're just big mass graves where they're just kind of everyone's getting the same burial ritual, but. Hey, X1, welcome, welcome. Everyone's getting the same burial ritual, but they're getting buried in these huge mass graves with hundreds of people at a time in each one. So, not going to be so great. The other big story that has been talked to in, you know, ad nauseum, I'd assume, is the chemical spill and subsequent cover-up going on in Ohio. A train, just a couple months, 2 months after the federal government forced the rail workers to go back to work despite protests, there was a big train derailment. They were carrying hazardous chemicals, four known bad chemicals, and they just, when these chemicals spilled everywhere, they just lit them on fire and let it go run down the river. No word on the EPA doing anything, but lots of people are sick, and all their animals are dead. All right, so let's talk about news, stuff that isn't isn't on every hour of the day. First, in the UK, a former UK policeman has been jailed for life for the kidnap, rape, and murder of a London woman, Sarah Evergard. Excuse me, Everard, pleaded guilty. There's no one in your contacts. No, God. Siri agitates the shit out of me. Wayne Cousins admitted to the incidents between November 2020 and February 2021, a month before he falsely arrested Everard, age 33, as she walked home. The counts of indecent exposure, which took place in Woodland and a McDonald's restaurant in Kent, southeast England, emerged after his conviction. They form part of an official inquiry that's looking into whether he could have been stopped before he killed her, had prior allegations been more fully investigated. He entered the guilty pleas at London's Old Bailey Criminal Court by video link from jail, where he's serving a whole life sentence for the murder. Cousins, age 49, has a long gray beard now and wore a gray tracksuit. He'll be sentenced on March 6th. So, yeah. Hey, Connor H. pointing out the combustion-created FOS gene as a byproduct. Yeah, vinyl chloride was the big chemical that was spilled there. And for whatever reason, rather than trying to clean it up, they just built it. They made a pit, lit it on fire, let all the chemicals burn, and they covered it up with some more dirt and then built the railroad track back over it. So, given how little teeth the EPA has and how strongly opposed politically most people in that area are to any government interventions, you know, there'll probably be a lot of, what's the word for it? There's going to be a lot of sickness and deformities and just tragedies coming out of that area for a while. It'll be like a Superfund site. Which, if you ever want to get depressed, just go look up all the Superfund sites in the United States that are just kind of left to languish. In Niger, soldiers were killed in an ambush by a suspected jihadist group. At least 10 soldiers died in an ambush in southwestern Niger, close to the border with Mali, by a group of people described as armed terrorists. Government sources say the death toll from Friday's attack is expected to rise, as 16 people are still missing and others were wounded. So, we'll see what's going on here. According to the UN, over 61,000 Malian refugees currently shelter in Tahoua and Tillaberi. On Saturday evening, France condemned in the strongest possible terms the attack that left 10 dead. The French Foreign Ministry expressed its full solidarity with the Nigerian authorities and people and stands by them in a fight against terrorists. France is supporting Niger in its Al-Mahal operation to secure the border with Mali, with 250 soldiers in a combat partnership. Alright, Tobe's getting ready for the show, which means I should remind you, Dubious Goals Committee with Tobe airs every goddamn day at 1930 UTC. So stick around here on AnonRadio.net and listen to that show. It is a lot of fun. Moving along in the world, China is saying that the U.S. balloons have breached airspace at least 10 times. This is an ongoing thing. The United States, a balloon from China recently floated across the United States, and as it did, at first we didn't shoot it down, and then once it got to over the Atlantic Ocean, it went ahead and was shot down. This caused some political turmoil domestically. And so now, the United States is just destroying any aircraft that enter its airspace, which is kind of not the norm or not the same thing that's been going on in the past. So here's what we've got. China's foreign ministry says the U.S. has flown balloons into its airspace more than 10 times in the past 10 years. It comes after the U.S. on February 4th shot down a suspected spy balloon over its airspace. China says it's one of its weather balloons gone astray. Relations between the two countries has deteriorated. In recent days, the U.S. has also shot down a number of other unidentified objects. Questioned on Monday, Beijing said the U.S. had made many airspace breaches. It's not uncommon, as well, for the U.S. to illegally enter the airspace of other countries, said Foreign Ministry spokesman Wang Wenbin at a regular press briefing. Since last year alone, U.S. balloons have illegally flown above China more than 10 times. The first thing the U.S. side should do is start with a clean slate, undergo some self-reflection, instead of smearing and accusing China, he said. Beijing had responded to the incursion in a responsible and professional manner. If you want to know more about the U.S. high-altitude balloons illegally entering China's airspace, I suggest you refer to the U.S. side, he said. Chinese state-affiliated media reported over the weekend that an unidentified flying object had been spotted off the country's east coast, with the military preparing to shoot it down. The White House denied Beijing's accusations that it sent balloons over China. It's kind of tit-for-tat, because you know the United States does nefarious stuff all over the world all the time, and so it's not really, it wouldn't really be a surprise that there was a double standard that the United States expected to be able to do whatever it wanted, and anybody but no one else can do what they're doing. So we'll see what we do. On Sunday, the U.S. ordered an unmanned octagonal structure to be downed in Michigan near the Canadian border. Fighter pilots also shot down smaller unidentified objects over Alaska on February 10th and northern Canada on February 11th. We've conveniently got a little map here. So, you know, I love maps, so we'll put that here. UFOs. All right. If you go to sdf.org/l/KT, it's all lowercase, sdf.org/Lima/Kilo Tango. That URL right there will take you to the little map that shows the United States and Canada and Alaska, and shows where the four shoot downs events were. But you can kind of see it generally follows like what the jet stream looks like. All right. Well, what else is going on? Well, I tell you what, music is coming up, that's for sure. But let's go in and talk about a kind of gross story. German ballet director smeared dog feces on critic's face after bad review. Yeah, that's right. So gross. The director of a leading German ballet company has been suspended from his post and is being investigated by police after allegedly smearing a critic's face with his dog's excrement at the premiere of his new show after she described one of his productions as boring and disjointed. Marco Gecki, the head of Hanover State Opera's ballet company, has also been barred from the opera house, a spokesperson confirmed on Monday afternoon after he confronted Wiebke Huster, the ballet critic of Frankfurter Allgemeine Zeitung, or FAZ, in the interval of his latest show on Sunday night. He attacked her verbally before producing a bag of dog feces from his pocket and rubbing the contents in her face. The newspaper said in a statement that Goecki had expressed his fury over Huster's review, published in the FAZ on Saturday, of his production in the Dutch Mountain with the Netherlands Dance Theater in The Hague. Oh man, I have some fresh ginger may, and it is so good. So let's stop thinking about dirty stuff, and let's think about being clean. Something to point out here is there is a letter that was sent in to The Guardian, and normally I don't like that. Hey, Atomic Rights has escaped to the news. I just wanted to remind you, there was a letter that was written in to The Guardian, and it kind of made me say, oh yeah, this is something to mention. COVID is still around, and it's still a good idea to wear a mask when out in public, especially if you feel ill at all, or you're going to be in an area where you're going to be around a lot of people that may or may not be, you know, their status is unknown. It's still safer to wear a mask. So I put this in here just to remind us to mask up. It's kind of a weird thing because since not everyone's doing it, it's much harder to deal with. So anyway. All right, one last story, and then we'll play a song. And that, my friends, comes to us from France. The lynx in France faces extinction with population down to 150 adults at most. Oh no. Conservationists warn that a big cat population in Europe is destined to collapse unless immediate efforts are made to protect the animals. Researchers estimate there are 120 to 150 adult lynxes in France. Tests on the animals show that the cat's genetic diversity is so low they will become locally extinct within the next 30 years unless there is urgent intervention. Historically, lynxes have ranged across the expanse of Eurasia, but the elusive animals have come under intense pressure in many countries from habitat loss, inbreeding, poaching, and traffic collisions. Hey, congratulations to Claudio M. for switching car insurance companies. Scientists at the Centre Athénais, a wildlife protection center in eastern France, collected 88 DNA samples from injured, dead, or orphaned lynxes between 2008 and 2020, and they were able to analyze 78 to form a picture of the population's genetic health. The tests revealed an alarming lack of genetic diversity. Although researchers believe there are more than 120 adult lynx in France, the population has a level of diversity equivalent to only 38 animals. This population has lost a lot of genetic diversity since it was reintroduced in Switzerland. So, very sad, troubling stuff there. X1 points out, most big cats and bears are out of Western Europe. And yeah, it's kind of sad but true that as humans exist somewhere, we slowly kind of kill all the local flora and fauna that isn't immediately of use. But time will only tell whether or not that's bad news. This song is called Bags, and it's from an artist named Claro off of the album Immunity.
Anon Radio is your non-commercial, non-profit, member-supported underground radio station.
Powered by the SDF Public Access Unix System.
That's right. You are listening to Anon Radio, powered by SDF. SDF, well, it's powered by you. So thank you so much for being here, hanging out. Shout out to everybody in comm who can or cannot hear the broadcast due to work requirements. I'm working from home today, so I'm able to have a kind of interactive show. I'm pretty excited. It feels good. All right. Well, let's wrap up. Oh, if you missed it earlier, stick around. In 9 minutes, we've got the Dubious Goals Committee with Tope coming up every goddamn day at 1930 UTC. And since it's Monday, that means it's time for Mix Remix right after the Dubious Goals Committee from Harry Larry. And then later on, we've got Organized Chaos and several other shows going on. So check that out. All you gotta do is hit equal sign in comp or type an on radio at the command prompt or just go to anonradio.net. Either way, you'll see the schedule. Hey, Jay LaMoth, welcome. Alrighty, here we go. Chinese patrol boat fires blinding military-grade laser in clash with Philippines Coast Guard. We're living in the future, y'all. A military-grade laser light allegedly hit a Philippines Coast Guard vessel and temporarily blinded some of its crew members in the disputed South China Sea. Manila accused a Chinese Coast Guard ship of carrying out the act that took place on February 6th. The Chinese ship allegedly maneuvered dangerously close, about 137 meters, to block the Philippine Coast Guard BRP Malapascua patrol vehicle from approaching the Philippine-occupied Second Thomas Shoal, the Coast Guard said in a statement. Manila has called the act a blatant violation of Philippine sovereign rights. The incident has become the latest flare-up in a series of maritime encounters between the two nations in the South China Sea, the entirety of which is claimed by Beijing. Zero off wants a laser boat. Directed energy weapons. Manila had filed nearly 200 diplomatic protests against China's aggressive actions in disputed waters in 2022 alone. The laser incident comes just days after the U.S. and the Philippines agreed to resume joint patrols in the sea and allowed Washington access to four more military bases closer to the self-governed island of Taiwan. The Philippine Boat Patrol was supporting a rotation and supply mission for troops living in a derelict Navy ship grounded on the shoal. That's an interesting way to have a base. It's like, oh, there's a Navy ship that washed ashore, so we just use it as our base now. China had previously tried to block Philippine ships in the waters before, but this was the first time it used laser light and caused physical suffering. Philippine Coast Guard spokesman Commodore Armand Balilo told the Associated Press. So, we'll see what happens or if this escalates, Tobe coming in saying he couldn't SSH in, so he doesn't know if DGC will broadcast today or not. good luck, Tobe. I found when I was connecting that it took an extraordinarily long time to connect. And then once it did connect, when I tried to launch TMUX, it would not. And so it just took forever and a day. Hey, Atomic, right? I think it's hard to say. It's unclear what exactly they did there. But let's see. It depends, though. It does damage your eyes for sure. Hey, Quentin. Welcome. Well, I fingers crossed, hoping for Tobe and the Dubious Goals Committee. We've got 5 minutes to go, so let's see what's going to happen. Let's talk about nuclear stuff. And then I've got a nice little bit of chocolate news for you. Lightbridge Fuel offers PU management option. I think this is probably plutonium. Simulations have shown that a fuel rod designed by the company significantly outperforms traditional MOX, M-O-X, Mike Oscar X-ray fuel in consuming plutonium and would be well suited for consuming excess weapons grade material. A study using a variant of Lightbridge fuel in which uranium-zirconium alloy was substituted with an equivalent plutonium-zirconium composition found that the Lightbridge plutonium disposition fuel variant consumed some 5.5 times more plutonium per fuel rod than mixed oxide or MOX fuel. The research has been published in Nuclear Technology, a paper entitled Improved Disposition of Surplus Weapons-Grade Plutonium Using a Metallic Plutonium zirconium fuel design, co-authored by Braden Goddard of the Department of Mechanical and Nuclear Engineering at Virginia and Commonwealth Authority University, and Aaron Tottenmeier, senior nuclear fuel consultant to Lightbridge. So, very exciting stuff. If the fuel rods if we can have reusable fuel rods that consume the radioactive material, hey, what do you know? We're reducing waste, increasing efficiencies all around. Great time. And a poloidal field coil, the largest component being produced in Russia for the multinational fusion project, has completed its journey to the International Thermonuclear Experimental Reactor, or ITER. The poloidal field coil, PF1, left Russia's St. Petersburg port on November 1st, sailing to France before traveling by road along a route selected for transportation of giant-sized loads. The coil has 9-meter diameter, geez Louise, and weighs 200 tons and is one of 6 coils in the poloidal field in the magnetic system, which serves to contain the plasma in the ITER reactor. Rosatom director General Alexei Likachev said the best Russian specialists participated in the creation of the PF1 coil. They have developed advanced technologies, methods, and manufacturing solutions. I would especially like to emphasize that inside, at the heart of the coil, there is a Russian superconductor. The ITER project is a vivid example of the closest international cooperation, scientific and technical cooperation, Russia has been, is, and will be an integral part of the ITER project and the world thermonuclear research in general. So it's very interesting. 6 poloidal field coils positioned horizontally around the ITER vacuum vessel and D-shaped toroidal field coils will help shape the plasma and keep it in suspension away from the walls. So this is very exciting stuff. And it's really cool. I think it's pretty rad. Also, Russia is one of the only countries in the world that still refines and makes polonium. So it's one of those nuclear radioactive elements. It's actually a good thing. So anyway, I thought it's pretty cool. But yeah, fusion is sounds like sci-fi. But we're living in the future, man. And we've got about 2 minutes before the Dubious Goals Committee current or future episode or past episode will air. Ginged me. Mars Wrigley factory fined after 2 workers fall into chocolate vat. That's right. U.S. workplace safety regulators have fined a Pennsylvania factory after 2 workers fell into a vat of chocolate and had to be rescued. Thankfully, they didn't die. The Mars Wrigley factory in the city of Elizabethtown was fined more than $14,500 by OSHA, the Occupational Safety and Health Administration. The workers were contractors who didn't work full-time. The incident happened in June 2022. A hole had to be cut in the bottom of the partly full tank to get them out. More than 2 dozen rescuers responded, and 1 worker was transported to hospital. The regulator's report labeled the incident serious. It says the workers were hired to clean tanks and weren't provided with proper safety training. It noted the workers fell into a batching tank, a tank used to mix ingredients, for Dove chocolate. In the UK, elsewhere, Dove is sold as Galaxy chocolate. A representative for Mars Wrigley welcomed the outcome of the investigation. And that's all the time we got, so please enjoy the Dubious Goals Committee, and good luck.